You're tuned to North Fork Works, and I'm Hazel Kahn. I'm very pleased today to introduce you to my guest, Denise Civiletti. She's the founder of Riverhead Local, an online media source. And as a resident of the North Fork, and before that as news director for WPKN, I've turned to for many, many years. The two forks, North Fork and South Fork, are different in many ways from each other, and they're also very different from Riverhead. But we are also close neighbors. Our land is contiguous. So what happens in Riverhead concerns us on the North Fork, and Denise is certainly a central source for reporting what happens in Riverhead. So welcome, Denise, to North Fork Works and to WPKN.
Well, thank you very much, Hazel. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
I'd like to start by your telling our WPKN listeners, most of whom are in Connecticut, though we do get very good signal coverage on the North Fork, but what's not available on a Google search that I did is, what is your own background? Tell us a bit of history so people know who you are.
Sure. I was born and spent the first decade of my life in Brooklyn. My parents moved to a little town called Corum when I was 10, 1967. Corum was farms, and we had a general store. Very different from what it is today. I'm absorbed into the whole suburban sprawl that enveloped much of Suffolk County from the late 60s into the 70s and 80s, I guess. But that's where I grew up.
Where did you start being a reporter?
After graduating from Stony Brook University, I went to New York University School of Law, graduated in 1982, and then I practiced law, and I moved to Riverhead, and I started working here in 1985, and I've been here ever since. I was elected to the Riverhead Town Board in 1987, believe it or not. It was a complete fluke, I'd like to say. But the accidental councilwoman, I served 1 4-year term on the Riverhead Town Board and continued practicing law. And I began writing an opinion column at the invitation of then News Review publisher Troy Gustafson. Mm-hmm. And I started that in 1999. And I continued doing that. And in 2002, he asked me if I would want to come work as the editor of the News Review. And I took him up on it. I had two little children at the time, and I started working at the newspaper. One thing led to another. And before I knew it, I was executive editor of both the Suffolk Times and the News Review, and then Time, the Shelter Island Reporter. And we had a paper called the North Shore Sun. And I worked there through 2009. And in 2010, my husband, Peter Blosel, and I launched Riverhead Local. And we've been publishing that ever since.
So that's 12 years.
This coming January, 13 years. Yeah. So, and that's my background in reporting. I did not go to a journalism school. Yeah. I worked on my high school newspaper. I was the editor of the high school newspaper, but I wanted to go to law school. And it's not a typical career path for a lawyer, but the education has done well for me. It helps me understand what goes on in government and community affairs in a sort of unique way that other reporters who don't have that background don't see things. So,
That's interesting. Helpful. Yeah. Yeah. So people who are thinking of going into a journalism don't necessarily have to go to journalism school would be one conclusion they might draw from your story.
Well, you have to be very dedicated to news and facts and giving people accurate stories. And to be a good reporter, you have to be an avid news consumer as well. It's not a typical path to this career, although I will say that I know few other people in my law school graduating class who actually went into journalism as well.
Mm-hmm. So you've actually worked for most, if not all, of the newspapers that I certainly count as my local papers. So I want to ask you, why did you and your husband start Riverhead Local? And how is it different from, let's just say, the Suffolk Times, the Riverhead News Review? And also, I'd like to bring in East End Beacon, Beth Young's newspaper.
Yes.
How would you position yourself in that field?
Peter and I started Riverhead Local because we really wanted to have a very local news outlet for Riverhead. When papers are part of a group, sometimes things are reported and packaged in a way that they can run well in more than one paper. And sometimes we felt that the local perspective as it pertains to Riverhead was not necessarily always there. Peter is a lifelong Riverhead resident. I mean, his parents were in the same kindergarten class here in Riverhead. His maternal line on his father's side goes back to the Youngs, who were founders of South Old Town, which Riverhead was part of.
And that is Beth Young's heritage.
Peter's basically related to just about everybody.
Yeah.
Just about every newspaper today has an online presence and a website that offers news. When we first started, we said it's like a local paper, but it's kind of like a daily because post news constantly. Mm-hmm. And at that point in time, the papers were not really updating their websites, but once a week, maybe a little more frequently than that by then. But So it was a kind of a novel concept. This was before the advent of Patch, which was launched by AOL several months after we started. So at first people looked at us and like, what are you doing? What is this? But we had an idea and thought that it would work out well, and it has. We found that local businesses were very eager to be able to advertise their businesses on a truly local property as opposed to, you know, Google or something like that. And we built a great audience. We've got a couple of million visitors every year, like over the course of the year to our website. Mm. It's very well read. I wasn't sure what was going to happen. But
in other words, it was a good idea. Well,
it seems like it was. We're a little, just a little bit ahead of our time, but just by a little. And that was a good thing.
And you implemented it properly, you know, suitably, appropriately. The implementation, especially the idea that it does suit the business community who are advertisers.
And, you know, they support this product. We have paid memberships. It's voluntary, but our website is free to access. There's no paywall, but we have voluntary membership, and we've had a terrific response from our readers in that regard, in terms of people saying, oh, I want to be a member. I want to support you.
So you're getting individual support as donations. Yeah. You're not paying to subscribe, but they donate, and then the businesses are doing it with advertising.
So far, it's worked out. Being a newspaper publisher in a different time before the decline of the print news industry, it was actually a very lucrative business to own, but that has changed. There's been obviously a lot of disruption of that industry by digital media. You can't make the living that print newspaper publishers used to make, can't be replicated by online ads and things like that. So it's a different level of income, I guess, that people draw from it. But it's good enough for us, and we love what we do, and we're very passionate about it. It's a family business. We have two adult daughters now who both went to Stony Brook and got degrees in the journalism school there. They both work full-time in the business. Mm. One of them has a good head for business, and she runs the business, and she also handles our website development, and the other handles marketing and does our advertising, the graphic art for the ads on our site and our marketing materials. And then we've got a few other people working for us as well. And so it's a very small operation. Our newsroom is just me and another reporter who is another local Riverhead guy. He grew up here as well, a recent college graduate. He went to Stony Brook Journalism School. His name is Alec Lewis, and that's what we do. We produce a lot of work, and I think a lot of good quality work. We've been recognized for that, and just going to keep doing what we do.
Right.
It can be hard sometimes.
I'm glad I got you at this point in time. Just a little looking back for a minute, you feel that you made good decisions and that you did things well, but are there any things at all that you wish you'd done differently or that you just didn't know at the time, and it might have been helpful to have known them? That you now looking back on it?
With this business in particular?
About running Riverhead Local, running a newspaper, a digital newspaper.
There's a lot of trial and error involved with anything, I guess. First of all, you have to have an entrepreneurial spirit. You know, it's an adventure being in business for yourself. If you are someone who really appreciates predictability and security, being self-employed or owning your own business may not be for you. Because as anyone who owns whatever kind of business it may be, will tell you, there are many ups and downs and bumps in the road, and you never really know what's going to happen. So you need to have a constitution that allows you to endure that sort of uncertainty sometimes. I don't know. I mean, I don't think I would change what we did and how we went about it.
Okay. I'll just pause a minute just to look back for that reason. But if there's nothing major, you didn't make some terrible errors, like you should have covered more sports, or...
You kind of learn a few things about what people want to read. And then you have to make some decisions about whether that's what you want to cover. If I just went by what gets the most views, it would be nothing but police news all the time. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I must add, it's kind of a blessing and a curse that website analytics allow you to see precisely how many people view an article, how much time they spend with that article, and what they do with it in terms of sharing it or whatever. When you're the publisher of a printed newspaper, you don't get that kind of knowledge, really. You just know how many papers you've sold. With this, you can see exactly what appeals to people. And I think that in some ways, that has been detrimental to this industry, because it lends itself to people chasing clicks. Like, the thing is, I feel like there's a danger in chasing those metrics and putting other things aside that are important, maybe sometimes to my own detriment. But I'm kind of stodgy. And like I say, well, I know that this story about a town board action or, an application that is impacting the environment, this may not be the biggest audience draw, because those stories typically are not, but they're really important. They're important to the community. And so we do those stories, and we do them well, as does Beth Young. So you need to make a decision about what kind of a publication you're going to be. Are you going to be a publication that's just going to try to get as many eyeballs as possible? When they have Google ads, they get paid for those ads by the click. So they want to get as many eyeballs on their website as possible. My objective and our mission is to inform the people who live in the town of Riverhead and the surrounding areas as much as we possibly can about things that are really important to our community. And we're not chasing those kinds of things. I mean, when we post something and it gets a lot of hits, that's terrific. But our mission is all about our community. Make sure you eat your broccoli with your ice cream is what I like to say.
Yeah, well, I'm going to ask you about broccoli and ice cream, because I'd like to know, how has your emphasis or your focus changed since you started?
I wouldn't say that we're covering things now that we were not covering when we first started, but I would say perhaps our emphasis has changed. So we did a lot of breaking news stories when we first started. Like, we covered a lot of motor vehicle accidents, and we cut way back on that. We're not going to accident scenes like we used to do. Again, that's something they love. Accidents, they love looking at car crashes, and it's just something that I just didn't like that being so much of a focus on our website. We essentially stopped covering high school sports. I looked at what we saw in terms of audience with those kinds of stories, and I said, well, this is costing us a lot more than maybe it's worth. I was trying to be, when we started, like all things to all people, kind of, I was approaching it like the way any community newspaper, what their content would be structured. It'd be sort of replicating, if you will, a community newspaper online. And I've pared that back to emphasize some things over others and not necessarily trying to be all things to all people. In the beginning, it was just me.
Denise Civiletti, journalist and founder of Riverhead Local, is talking about running a local digital newspaper. This is North Fork Works on WPKN Radio. I'm Hazel Kahn.
So it's crazy to think you can do what a staff of, you know, a newsroom of 10 people are capable of doing. So
you change your approach, but what are you covering now, maybe, that you weren't covering then?
Certainly in terms of subject, if it's something that's newsworthy, if we were trying to cover it then, we'd try to cover it today,
right,
whether that's immigration or, you know, protest marches. I mean, I feel like we've covered in the last 5 years a lot more protest than existed in the 5 years before that, because there just have been more going on. We had a number of Black Lives Matter protests here. We had some immigration protests and demonstrations. We've had some demonstrations against COVID-19 vaccinations and mandates and things. The subject has changed. But if it's something newsworthy in our community, you know, there's a bigger issue, but it has a lot of local impacts and a lot of levels. You know, we cover the local angle. We're covering things that are important in terms of news in the present day. We've also seen a demographic change in Riverhead that's perhaps not the same as the demographic change you've seen east of Riverhead town line. We have a much, much larger Latino population in the past decade, a change that we've had here that Southold really hasn't seen across the board, maybe in certain places. But
so those are things that you didn't cover before and maybe we'll be covering or are covering now.
Yeah, the shift in the population here. I prize Riverhead for its diversity. I really do. It's a rich, culturally rich place. I mean, and we actually started a Riverhead local in Espanol, Spanish language Riverhead local, spun off a new website that we don't own, but we work with them. The editor of the Spanish language Riverhead local really wanted to expand the coverage beyond Riverhead because she very strongly felt that the Latino community did not necessarily have the same kind of allegiance to one of the hamlets or one of the towns. It was more of a regional population. And so she's launched a new website called Tu Prensa Local, which is your local news in Spanish. And again, we work together when it comes to stories that relate to Riverhead. And she and her partner, they are doing a fantastic job. And so that's local news online in the Spanish language.
How far do they cover? What is their?
Mostly East End, but she'll go a little west. That was not our mission at all. Our mission was really Riverhead and Flanders. Yeah, I mean, the Riverhead.
Flanders is apparently solidly Latino now.
Fairly so. It's really part of Riverhead. I know it's technically in Southampton Town. It's on the other side of the river, but the kids go to Riverhead schools. They shop in Riverhead. They're part of the Riverhead community. And I've always wished that Riverhead could annex that area and just make it official. I don't know that a lot of people share that thought, but you know, I feel like it would be good for downtown overall and good for that community because they are often forgotten, it seems, by the powers that be in Southampton Town historically.
We should end in a minute, maybe summarize a little bit by looking into the future, which we haven't done that much. Do you have any advice you would give to young people? Is there anything you yourselves do to bring teenagers and so on into your readership? My own feeling is that the news is lost on that generation. People like my granddaughter, who's 15, but people say who are just finishing high school. I don't think they have the news habit in any way at all that I can see. And I just wondered if you have thoughts about that and about how anything that you're thinking of doing to educate a new upcoming generations in news.
I think that one thing that's really important, I don't totally agree with you about they don't have the news habit. I think that maybe 15 is kind of young, but like once people get of college age and certainly once they're working, the old adage was in local, you know, community newspapers that, you know, once people actually buy a house and have a family, then they're really invested in the community. And that's the heart of our readership, you know. But however, I think that the opposite is true and in a strange way, kind of a problem, is that they're inundated with information. And I think that developing news literacy among certainly the younger generation, although it couldn't hurt to do a better job with the older folks as well, so that they understand what is legitimate and correctly reported news versus, you know, rumors that people post on social media that take on a life of their own. Or, you know, we've seen a lot of things with these phony news websites, you know, cranking out propaganda. And, you know, how to tell the difference between your respected local newspapers, and our region has some of the best local papers and local media anywhere in New York, whether it's the East Hampton Star, the Express News Group publications, Times Review publications, East End Beacon, and Riverhead Local. You know, we've got really solid news organizations here. How do you discern that quality versus, you know, some of the things that you see, say, on Facebook? You know, how do you know what's really news? And I think that's an important lesson to learn. And I think in some ways, younger people are even savvier about those things than some people of a certain age, like you and me, you know.
But when you say it's a lesson, important lesson to learn, who should be teaching that lesson? Do you have to
I think it needs to start at a young age. I mean, and different schools have news literacy programs. I know that the Stony Brook School of Journalism actually has developed a curriculum for use in schools. But I think it's something that, you know, everybody needs to learn, because what we have seen, what happens when people can't tell what makes for a good, solid news story versus some of the junk that, you know, passes off as news that you see, that you, you know, access.
And now people have to unlearn all of that as well. It's a very sorry situation. Yeah.
I think that's really important. Looking to the future, that's an important thing that we need to kind of all work on.
Do you feel that you have a particular responsibility to work on that?
Absolutely. I mean, I've, you know, any chance I get, anytime I'm invited, I go and speak about that places. I also speak about the importance of open government and holding, you know, government officials accountable. We actually sponsored an open government session or two a few years back, where we had the head of the Committee on Open Government in New York State come down and speak. We invited all of the school district and town officials to attend, because, you know, that really matters. It really matters to how people engage with government and how their lives are affected by government. They need to be able to see what's going on and know what's going on. And you know, so transparency is really important.
Yeah, in that context, actually, it was the question I had meant to ask earlier, and maybe it can be my last question, is, has there been any change in the way you are covering or using the opinion section of your paper? Are you doing more investigative reporting? Are you doing more opinion reporting?
I mean, those are two very different things. Investigative reporting is news reporting, and that's not the same as opinions.
I was particularly taken with an article. This is when I decided I really must contact you. It was on the 16th of September, when you did one called State Attorney General Should Take a Close Look at How Riverhead Town Flouts State Laws.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, there has been a change in that. I mean, we have in this year begun actually publishing editorials. Opinions on behalf of our publication.
Okay, so that is a new thing then. I'm right about that. Okay, so I'm going to ask you again. So say that, start again, because I interrupted you. So has that changed your editorial stance, editorial posture, having more availability?
We've begun publishing these editorials on behalf of the publication, and they are a joint effort involving me and Alec Lewis and my daughter, who's my co-publisher, Katie Morosky. You know, in the past, I have done opinion pieces, but as columns in my own name, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's a tricky thing in a, with a small news organization, because we don't have, you know, a editorial board and an ivory tower that's not doing any reporting. I mean, you know, we're just a small company, and like the local newspapers, you know, the people who are writing editorials are also either reporting and writing stories, news stories, or editing them. And so, you know, we're scrupulous about being very down the middle when it comes to news reporting, and make sure that we do that in a way that's accurate and fair and covers, you know, all sides of a story, regardless of what our opinion might be personally. Right. Because, you know, reporters, like anyone else, have the, we all have opinions about things. And I think, you know, we follow things probably more closely on a local level than most other, you know, average citizens, because we're, this is what we're paying attention to constantly. So we're in a position to have a more informed opinion about things. And it just, things have just, they, I felt like circumstances demanded that we take a look at things and speak out about things as a publication. And so we've been trying to do that on a regular basis.
Anything you can say about what the circumstances are?
Well, I mean, I think we're at a crossroads in a lot of ways in Riverhead. I mean, there's a gigantic issue involving the future of the former Grumman site in Calverton and what is going to happen there potentially. Mm-hmm. And that is, that's been a story that frankly I've been following since and reporting on since I was at Times Review. You know, I mean, it's a big, big story. And I sometimes think I'm not even going to live long enough to see the end, like what happens. But, you know, so that's one of them. I mean, it could be developed in a way that impacts the entire region. And so it's a big regional issue. That's one of those things. We have some public official in our town who is very, very difficult to cover for a number of reasons. And, you know, that's a change too, that has made what we do more difficult and challenging. And I guess I'll leave it at that, more difficult than challenging.
But by doing it through editorials or opinions, it's easier for you to deal with that?
Well, I mean, I just, there have been a lot of things that are just crying out for, you know, an editorial like the just referenced that says, you know, hey, you're not doing the right thing here. And making sure that, you know, if it's something important, a subject that's important, making sure people know that that's the case, because I think we have a responsibility to the public to let them know those things.
Well, I'm very glad we got to that, because that was actually, if anything, the originating idea for me to interview you. I wanted to ask you whether this had changed in the way you were, your paper was being structured. So thank you very much indeed, Denise. It was
a
pleasure.
Thank you, Hazel.
To catch up with you and to talk to you, and see you around in either the North Fork or in Riverhead, whichever happens first.
I'm looking forward to seeing you again. I'm looking forward to picking up your book.
Oh, thank you very much. Thanks a lot then, Denise. Right. I'll be in touch with you soon.
Thanks. Take good care now.
You too. Bye-bye.
We've been listening to Denise Civiletti, journalist and founder of Riverhead Local, telling us about running a local digital newspaper. You can hear North Fork Works interviews every month at this time, or at any time at all, as a podcast on hazelkahn.com. Thank you for supporting WPKN. I'm Hazel Kahn.